to the Word. The title of my message today is Go All the Way. So if you were in the first service this morning, Pastor Lincoln, who is our pastor, he preached a message that was titled, How Far Will You Go? And my title is Go All the Way. So Pastor Lincoln kind of gave you an option. I'm saying no, go all the way, right? So, and the topic that I'll be speaking about is true repentance and salvation. Amen? So at this moment, if you haven't given, please go ahead and do so. We do need your help. We have missions all around the world, from Nigeria to India, and even in Houston. So please feel free to support and know that we are doing our best to do what Christ has called us to do, which is to preach the gospel. Amen? All right, so the title of my message is Go All the Way. And the topic is true repentance and salvation. Now, most times, right, you know, when you come to church and you're not married, or when you come to church and you're not married, and the pastor says, hey, I'm going to preach about marriage, you kind of tune out the pastor. Like, hey, you know what? I can sit out this week. It's not really for me, right? But the topic of true repentance and salvation is for everybody. So please don't tune me out, because you might be thinking that the topic of salvation is for that sinner that is sitting on your left-hand side right now. But no, it's for everybody, right? So just give me your ears, and let's trust that the Lord will be faithful as I bring his word. And the reason that this message is for everybody is because for 1,500 years, God spoke to the nation of Israel through his prophets, his kings, and even a donkey, right? But at the end of the book of Malachi, we have what is called 400 years of silence. And that's when God really wasn't speaking to the nation of Israel. So for 400 years, they sacrificed, went to the temples, and did all the things that they thought were right, right? But 400 years passed, and the word of the Lord came in the mouth of John the Baptist. And the first thing he said was, good job. No, he said, repent. So for 400 years, we have been killing and slaughtering bulls, going to temples, saying prayers, and God's like, yeah, repent, right? So the message of salvation is for everybody. Don't tune me out, because I believe that there's something here for you. Amen? So what is true repentance and salvation? What does it look like? In Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus, at the start of his ministry, his first message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus' first message was, repent, for there is a kingdom coming, right? So when we see the word for, we should always think because, right? So repent, because this kingdom is coming. Now, what does this mean? See, to understand repentance and salvation, the kingdom must be the focus and the focal point of the very salvation that we're trying to walk in, right? So the kingdom must be the context. And please stay with me. I'm going somewhere pretty good with this, all right? So, yes, we avoid going to hell when we get saved, but not going to hell is not the main point of our salvation, right? So there's more to salvation than simply not going to hell. But why do we struggle to understand what Jesus was saying when he said, repent, because the kingdom is at hand? See, gone are the days where one kingdom would raid your kingdom and wipe it out and kill everybody, and your whole life would just be gone, right? Like, we don't have that mindset, because we live in a republic, and we have rights, and we vote, and we do all these things that make us feel like, you know, we are just one step ahead of those barbarians that lived back then, right? But Jesus lived in a kingdom, or in a time period, where one nation could actually come and wipe out your whole land, and that was it. So the context of repentance and salvation is the kingdom, right? So one simple question before we jump into the main text for the day. What happens when a foreign kingdom is about to invade and destroy your kingdom. When we understand this, we can now understand what Jesus means by repent because the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God is at hand. So think about this, right? There's a kingdom at your doorstep, and they're about to come in and wipe out everything you love, everything you have invested in, stocks, your family, like nothing will be left. And you know that they're coming, right? And the only thing that Jesus is saying is repent because this kingdom is coming. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. And today's main text and story will be about somebody that you might know. It's about a woman called Rahab. So raise your hand if you've heard the story of Rahab. So most of you guys know the story, but I'll still give you an overview and then we'll dive into the text and trust that the Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me. All right, so Joshua chapter 2. So the story of Rahab goes as such. After Moses dies, Joshua becomes the leader of Israel. And like God promised to Moses, God also promised to Joshua that, hey, I will lead you to the promised land, right? But then God says something very funny. He says, look, I've given you the promised land. Now go and fight for it. You know, like, it's funny because God tends to do this thing where he's like, hey, I've given you freedom. Now come and take it. See, we often think that God gives us stuff and we have to take it, right? Take it by faith. Take it by praying. Take it by action. So God tells Joshua, hey, I've given you the kingdom, but you have to go and take it. So Joshua then goes on a battle campaign, and he has to go through city after city after city. And one of those cities was the city of Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho came falling down. Y'all know that song. So Jericho was one of the cities that Joshua had to take over. So as Joshua would do, because he was a man of war and he had a mind for war, Joshua sent spies into the land. Joshua sent two spies into the land, and their job was just to go and stake out the place and see, okay, where can we, you know, coming from? What can we do, right? Like, how can we take over this place that God has given us? So as they went into the city, somehow the king heard that, okay, hey, we have two spies in the land. So they were trying to flee and find somewhere to go. And Rahab, who was a prostitute, she actually saw them and gave them refuge and said, hey, come into my house. And she hid them and she gave them a safe passage until the coast was clear. So Joshua 2 verse 11. So Rahab is now speaking to these two spies, right? Because Rahab knows that any day now, her kingdom is about to be wiped out. She knows that this nation called Israel is at the door, and at any second now, everything that she's ever loved, all the money, all the gold, all the silver, all the treasures that she has ever had is about to be wiped clean. So Joshua 2 verse 11. And this is Rahab speaking. And it says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Verse 12. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token or a pledge of truth or a token of trust. Verse 13, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Amen. So Rahab knew what was coming. Rahab was like, all right, any second now, my kingdom, my life is about to be wiped out. But somehow, by the mercy of God, these men are in my house, and I can change my destiny if by just begging them and pleading with them to save me. See, true repentance that leads to salvation starts with the heart. Because Rahab said this, right? As soon as we heard these things in verse 11, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven and above on earth beneath. So Rahab saw that, okay, there is a bigger picture than this kingdom than the one that I live in. She saw that there is a God in heaven and that everybody, including me, is at his mercy. And if I don't do something and beg him for some sort of salvation, I am doomed. So true repentance that leads to salvation starts with the heart. So yes, I know you're here and you're saved and you go to church and you pay your tithes and all that. But does your heart still melt for him? Does your heart still fear him? See, because you can be saved 10 years and you're doing all the religious things you know to do, right? You know, okay, God, I'll stop watching porn, but I'll still go to the club. I'll stop doing this, but I'll still do this. And that fear is not there, right? So Rahab, she knows that at any second now, because of the context of the kingdom, right? Because, look, as we sit here, at any second, that sky can crack and this can be it, right? So we all have to live with a sense of fear that at any moment, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God can break in and everything that we know and love, if it's not in Christ, is gone. Amen? So Rahab knew that, okay, my heart has been affected by this thing, so something has to give here. Point number two, true repentance that leads to salvation is not something we can earn by being good. Rahab says this. She says in verse 12, "Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord." By the Lord. See, the foundation of our salvation is really an oath or a promise between Jesus and God the Father. We just benefit from it, right? In the same vein, Rahab says, "Swear to me by the Lord." And what she's saying is, hey, spies, you make a deal with your God, right? So it's the spies and their God. And Rahab just benefits from that deal, right? So Rahab knows that she doesn't really have any chips on the actual table. All she can do is just beg for mercy and hope that her savior, these spies, and their God will strike a deal that will benefit her. And that's what we have. And that is the actual gospel that Jesus, God made flesh, came a man, and struck a deal with his Father that benefits us all through eternity. So we are not saved by works, but we are saved by grace and mercy. And that is exactly how Rahab was saved. Because once again, Rahab was a prostitute. She didn't have any good works. I mean, not to say that she wasn't nice or kind, but if we're being real, especially back then, that was like the lowest thing that anybody could be, right? So if anybody in that town should be saved, it wasn't her. Amen? Point number three, true repentance that leads to salvation is an invitation to intercession. That's a lot of eyes, but an invitation to intercession. What is intercession? Simply, it just means that you stand before God for man. So you pray for people as if that person was you, right? You go before the Father and you intercede and you pray for them and you pray what God wants for them, right? So if we believe that the kingdom of God can crack the skies at any moment, why don't we intercede for those that we love or hate or go to work with, right? See, Rahab, she did not wait until she was a full-on Jew. As soon as she knew she was about to get saved, she was like, hey, save them too. Save my brothers and my sisters and my family, right? But for some strange reason, sometimes us, myself, we can be saved 10 years and most of our prayers are, God bless me. God help me. God do this for me. And you have coworkers who will never know him unless you open your mouth and say something, right? So true repentance that leads to salvation is an invitation to intercession. And while I was just kind of prepping last night, a funny thought came to my mind. And, you know, if Jesus was on LinkedIn, right, and he put out a job ad, it would read, "Fishers of men wanted." Fishers of men wanted. Not pastors, not prophets, not you or me. Fishers of men, right? So I say that to say this. The main foundation of why we are saved, we are called to be fishers of men. That is our job. We are called to intercede for people, right? We are called to actually go out and save souls because we are being used by the Lord. So I'm going to ask you a question. We don't have to make eye contact, but did you catch anyone for Jesus last year? What about 2023 or 2022? Did God use you? Or I'll say this, did you let God use you, save anybody? See, one of the most privileged places that I've ever been or walked in is when God has used me to impact somebody in such a way that I know is not me. And I'm like, this is kind of amazing, right? So quick story. October last year, I felt led to pray for one of my friends. Him and his wife, they have been married about 2 years, and they were trying to conceive. So me and this friend, I mean, we send WhatsApp, like voice notes all day long. So I felt led to pray for him. So I sent them a 10-minute note just praying. And I was just praying for his wife and for them to have a child. So about a week before Christmas, him and his wife video called me. And they're like, "Ike, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, bro, you know, I'm just with the kids. You know, that's my life now." He was like, "Okay, let me tell you something. So you remember that day you called me and you prayed for me and, you know, yeah." I was like, yeah. Well, that very night, my wife came and showed me the pregnancy test and she got pregnant. And I'm just like, I'm floored because I'm like, "Lord, I am nobody, but you put that on my heart just to pray for them." And just by that one step of faith, God is like, "Look, if you just trust me, I can always use you like this. But you have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to pray for them. I'm sure they've been prayed for by men of God who are bigger than me, stronger than me. But you've led me here, so why not, right?" So what can you lose telling that person at work about God, right? If you know that at any moment, the sky can crack open and that person will be lost for eternity, what do you have to lose? It's just a job. There's many jobs out there. Amen. All right, so Rahab, she's pleading. She's asking them, "Save me, save my family," and do all these things. So in verses 14 through 17, the spies agree to save her family. But before they leave, they tell her the requirements of this salvation that is coming. Now, let me say this. Salvation is free, right? You just put your faith in Christ, and it's yours. But now with that being said, as Pastor preached about this morning, right? Salvation is more than just not going to hell. And Rahab's story is more than just escaping Jericho. Because if you truly know who Rahab is in the scripture, you will see that there was more to her life than a prostitute that lived in Jericho, right? God had a plan for her. So, point number four, true repentance that leads to salvation leaves us a token of trust that comes with requirements. Let's drop down to verse 18. So in verse 18 of Joshua 2, the spies then tell Rahab what these requirements are. And they say, "Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's households to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, His blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. So true repentance leading to salvation comes with requirements. Of course, we can't earn it, but there are things that we must do when we have such salvation. So the spy said, hey, we're going to give you this token. And that token was simply a scarlet cord. And they said, hey, just make sure that when we come, that scarlet cord is in the window. Because if we don't see it, all bets are off, right? So what is our token of trust, right? What do we have in salvation that we can say that we can always point back to and say that no matter what, we have something that will stand firm, something that we can't be shaken, right? And our token of trust is the Holy Spirit, right? Because we know this. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, 22, Paul says this, who, meaning Jesus, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or a token. So the Holy Spirit is our very present token that no matter what, we cannot be shaken. That no matter what happens, we are standing firm on the promises of God, right? So a token of trust, we can call that the Spirit of truth, or we can just simply call it the Holy Spirit, right? So Rahab had a physical token, but we have something better. We have something that has power, something that speaks for us. And that's the thing about a token, right? A token has two sides to it. The first side is this. A token is an item that guarantees your salvation. So like the Holy Spirit, we know, because look, man, we all go through things and have days where we feel down and we feel like, you know what, Lord, I just can't. But if you truly let the Holy Spirit be not just this dormant person that can sleep in your life like Christ slept on the boat, but if you walk with him, if you talk with him, that's what it's there for, to comfort you, to encourage you, to raise you up, to bring those scriptures back to mind that you've read, right? So he's more than just a physical token. He's a living, breathing person. And that's crazy because 1 Corinthians 6, 7 says, we are joined to the Lord and we are one spirit with him. And that scripture just blows my mind because I think about marriage, right? It says that two shall become one, right? One flesh. But we know that marriage is just a example of what we have in Christ Jesus. And we are one spirit with the Holy Spirit. So imagine if I had a Coke and a Sprite and I poured that Coke in the Sprite. What's the name of this new drink? That's the same way that we are with the Holy Spirit, right? His Spirit is in us. And that's why sometimes it's a little bit tricky to hear his voice, because you can hear his voice as your voice. And you're like, is that me or is that him? But if you read this book, if you eat this book, you know who is speaking to you. Amen? So the second side of the token is this. A token is an item that speaks for us. Romans 8, 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, Rahab, she could have been the most or the best spoken woman in the world. But on the day that those men invade her town, her words would not be enough. She needed something to speak for her, right? In the same vein, yes, we can cry out to God all day, and that's good. We should do that. But our words are not enough. Romans even says sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray. So the Holy Spirit make it intercession. He prays for us because his words are enough. Because it also says that only he can search the mind of God. So he knows all things, right? So we need a token that can speak for us. Not just because, look, trust me, man, there have been days when my words simply just don't cut it. God, I love you. I love you. I can say 10,000 times, but there's something deep inside me that I can't say. That's when the Holy Spirit rises. That's when you start to speak in tongue and it just bubbles and it overflows and something inside you comes to life. So what am I saying here? I'm simply saying this. We have a token of trust, something that is better than a scarlet thread. We have the very living God, the Holy Spirit in us, moving in us, living in us. See, from the very moment that Rahab received that scarlet cord, that became the most important thing in her life. Not the man she slept with, not the money, not the silver, not the gold. That scarlet cord, she guarded that thing with her life. Because, look, she knew that if she lost it, that was it, right? And not only that, see, knowledge is not all that matters. Knowledge is good. Rahab had knowledge of the scarlet cord, but if she didn't put it in the right place, that knowledge meant nothing, right? So, see, true salvation, true repentance that leads to salvation is what I like to call ready obedience. Ready obedience. You have no clue when the Lord is going to come back. So you don't have time to kind of play with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't do it. You do it. He says, stop that. You don't stop that. He's like, no, be ready. Like, be ready for him. You don't know when he's coming back. So where is your token of trust today? Where is your scarlet cord? See, are you trusting in your own effort still? Because sometimes we get saved and God makes us just a little bit better. So we start to like that better and start thinking that that better that we're being is making him happier. But he saved you when you were an enemy. So technically, there's nothing that you can do to add to how much he loves you, right? So my main point is simply this. Let's fast forward 1,500 years after Rahab was saved from the destruction of Jericho. In Matthew 1, 5. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. I don't have that scripture on my paper, but I will actually open it up right here and we can read it together. Whoever put this Bible on the podium, thank you, because I did it. All right, Matthew 1:5, and it says, and Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab. So chapter 1, verse 5, is looking at the genealogy of Christ. And here we have a prostitute, a person that is a Gentile, in the actual line of Christ, and a woman, right? A woman. In this times, that's unheard of, right? And she is in the line of Christ. And it says that Rahab was married to Salmon. Now, if you look up the history, Salmon was the son of the prince of Judah. So Raymond went from prostitution to being married to royalty. Tell me that doesn't look like us. We go from sinner to being married to Christ, right? Not only that, Rahab is also the mother of Boaz, who does what? Redeems Ruth, right? Rahab is also the great-grandmother of King David and King Solomon and an ancestor of Jesus. So this all began by simply saying, look, something is about to take over my kingdom. Please save me. Please save me. And see, this is what true repentance that leads to salvation looks like. We leave the old kingdom behind. We become the bride of Christ, right? Your identity and self-worth is restored, right? Life is actually produced in you and through you. But you know, let's be real, right? That's not the reality that we all live in at this present moment. You know, so my heart is not to make anyone doubt if you're saved. And I'm not here to just give you do's and don'ts. My heart is to say, go all the way. See, salvation, yes, it's a moment. Yes, there is a moment where you say, Lord, I give you my all. Help me. Please forgive me. Come into my life, right? But that's the start of the journey, right? So salvation is not that moment. It is the life that flows, right? Just imagine if Rahab simply made it out of Jericho and then just went to another city and began doing whatever she was doing there, right? She would have never found herself in the lineage of Christ. So salvation is not something that we can earn. It's a gift, right? But we have to be ready at all times. And by being ready, that means we have to actually preach this gospel. We have to actually intercede for people. Because God's plan for Rahab was always bigger than her not being destroyed in Jericho. So as I close, let me say this. If the same body that Rahab used to sell for money is the same body that God can use to bring forth David and Solomon and Christ, this means, and I'm speaking for me now, this means that the very mouth that used to lie and smoke is the same mouth that God can use to stand on the stage and preach, right? So I'm saying this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, not a patched up one, not a better one, you're something new. But the truth is this though, right? Sometimes we remember sins that, you know, God has wiped away. And I know we are but human beings, and sometimes that is hard to look past. But I'm pretty sure Rahab had those moments too. But according to Matthew 1, there's nothing about her being a prostitute or anything. She is simply a woman who is in the lineage of Christ, just like you and I can be if we put our faith in him. Amen? So in closing, don't settle for simply escaping Jericho. Don't settle for a get-out-of-jail-free card. God has way better for you than simply escaping destruction. Because, you know, the Gentiles, or those who are unsaved, seek the same thing. See, when that sky cracks open, that's the very same thing that they will seek. Hey, somebody save me. So what we have should be more than just God save me. It's God use me. God bring me into your family. God show me how to work in this kingdom that you've called me to live in, right? Because once again, the context of our repentance and salvation is the kingdom. It's not what we want. It's not what we think it is. It's the kingdom. So it's like being in jail all your life and somebody sets you free. If all you've known is jail, you might want to go back to jail, right? But you actually now have to learn to live in the context of the kingdom or the place that you've been set free in, right? So just like that, we have been called to be heirs of the kingdom, but we must learn what salvation looks like in the kingdom. Amen. So in closing, I know that there are several different groups of us in this room. Some of us are like Rahab. We know that we're bad. We know we've sinned, and we know that we need a salvation, because at any point, God can crack the sky, and that can be it. So we know who we are, right? And then we have those of us who, yeah, you've been saved, but you've taken your token of trust for granted. When you pray, you don't even feel his presence. You don't even know where your token of trust is, right? This very precious gift that has been given to you, you kind of just like, yeah, you know, I'm saved. I'm good. I'll only go this far, right? You know, and some of us, we fight God every time he wants to actually produce something in us. He starts something, and then we just say, nope, I'm good on that. And some of us miss Jericho. Let's be real. I'm sure at some point Rahab said, man, Jericho sure sounds nice, right? So we fall in different boats. So whatever boat you fall in, I just want to take a moment and simply just ask you to stand on your feet. Let's just go to God in prayer. So whether you need to be saved, right? If you need to be saved, if you know that once you step out of here, if that sky cracks open, that you are not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, this is your chance. This is your time to just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, save me. Not by my works, not by my effort, not by anything I can do, because I bring nothing to the table. This is all about Jesus and you, God the Father. So if that is the cry of your heart, please cry out to him. Not to me, not to anybody who is next to you, but you know where your walk is at. So please cry out to him. And for those of us who we have been saved, but we've taken this token for granted, we haven't spent time with the Holy Spirit, we haven't sought his face, we've gone left when he said go right, we know who we are. So let's just cry out to him. Heavenly Father, we need you. Heavenly Father, no matter who we are, Lord, we know that we need you, Father. Salvation is not just a moment, but it's a life. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime, Lord. You are saving us. You have saved us and you will save us. So Father, we are trusting you, Lord, that Lord, as we sit here today, as we stand here, Lord, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us not to take the very Holy Spirit for granted, but help us to seek your face, Lord. Help us to seek the old path, as you said, Lord. Father, we need you in all that we do, Lord. And Father, for those in this room that want to give their life to you, Lord Jesus, Father, I simply just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the bold step of faith. Thank you for the bold step of faith, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because they're saying, Lord, save me, not by my works, not by what I can do, Father, not by what I bring, but by your mercy. And Father, fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give them that token of trust, oh Lord, that will lead them and guide them and remind them when they fall short that you still love them, that you have a plan for them like you had a plan for Rahab. Because Father, your word says, oh Lord, that before you formed us in our mother's womb, Lord, that you knew us, Lord. So Father, even when Rahab was doing what she was doing, Father, you knew her, Lord. You knew who you called her to be, Lord. Just like you know who you've called every single person in this room to be, Lord Jesus. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Father. We need you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ike, for that message. As he said, we need to go all the way, not halfway. As I can remember at times that God would test me, and he would keep testing me until I passed the test. And I remember sitting in a Bible class one night, and the lady was saying, well, why would God do that? Why would he test me? He knows my heart. Why would he keep testing me like that? And I remember the teacher saying, because you haven't passed that test. And he's going to keep putting it in front of us until we pass it. So we can't go 99 and a half. We have to go the whole 100. And so I thank him for that word. It was a good word. Thank you all for coming out this morning. Those in-house and those who are online with us. And if you haven't had a chance to give, now is a good time to help us out. We would love to have you help us share with getting us online and preaching all over the world. And thank you to the workers who were working and volunteered and jumped in there to help with the First Worship 2025. And this Wednesday, we will have a laity to laity, and Bible class will resume on January the 15th. So if you would bow your heads, I'm going to say a quick prayer and get us out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being God, the one true only God, who came, who sent your son, and he came and died for us that we may have life more abundantly. And God, we will have that life more abundantly if we just give our lives to you. If we will follow you and if we will go all the way and not halfway. Help us and remind us to do just that, God. And we can watch ourselves grow with you whenever we be obedient to you. Father God, I pray this prayer in Jesus' most precious and his holy name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.